Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 3rd and 4th chapters. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, I've gotten a lot of questions this last week with the shooting in Orlando. Questions like, what's the Christian response? How am I supposed to feel? Should we ban guns? Do away with the Second Amendment of the Constitution? Shouldn't we stop all of the Muslims from coming into this country? Why did this happen? Whose fault is this? What can we do? It's not a question that is easy to answer, like how far the sun is from the earth. 93 million miles, by the way. I can't answer these questions. I really can't. I don't have the answers here. Some of these things, they're really, really hard questions that really are more appropriate for our politicians and us as voters here in these United States to decide. I can't say that there are biblical answers to these things. What I can tell you is that our response to this horrible shooting, and really to every disaster, is the Christian response that has been that way for ages, millennia. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And I can tell you that when we pray that prayer, because that is a prayer, we pray it for others and ourselves. And you know what? He does. He does have mercy. And He leads us to understand, too, that we follow in His footsteps. And we then have mercy towards others. We have mercy upon those who identify as homosexuals. We have mercy on Muslims. We have mercy on gun-toting Bible thumpers. We have mercy on liberals. We have mercy on conservatives. We have mercy, for we have received mercy. It's not that anybody in that list isn't a sinner. It's not that people who struggle with same-sex attraction aren't sinning against God's holy law. It's not that people who have sexual relations outside the bounds of holy matrimony aren't sinning against God's holy law. It's not that people who commit idolatry by believing in another religion aren't sinning against God's holy law. And it's not that people who commit idolatry by putting the Constitution above the Scriptures aren't sinning against God's holy law. They are. And we are too. But as we've been shown mercy by God in Christ Jesus, it frees us to show mercy and have mercy upon all those who struggle, those who aren't with us yet as brothers and sisters, saved Christians, those who are different from us, those who are only sinners and not yet saints. But you see, we're freed to do this because we are not stewarded by the law anymore. It's not as if Jesus comes and the law of God just vanishes from existence. The law is from God Himself. It is good and holy and right and the law, as it helps us understand how to serve our neighbor, will always remain. But Christians aren't stewarded by the law. The law isn't there to guide us to salvation, because we have that in Jesus Christ. Here's kind of the thing with God. Sorry, it's warm in here, isn't it? God is going to give you what you ask for according to the law. God is so good that he gives people exactly what they ask for. If you want salvation by the law, then you want to be judged by the law. And God will do that. He will. If you want to make your own way to heaven, God is going to give you that go-ahead. Go ahead and try. But what do we know? Who of us is good enough to earn our way to eternal life? Who can obey the law perfectly among us? No one. None of us. If you want to be judged by whether or not you're basically a good person, if you want to try to get where God is by what you do and by who you are, God is going to let you try. And you will fail. But God is good. And he gives people what they ask for. So if you want to be judged by the law in a different way, if you would like to be judged by the law through Christ and through his obedience to that law, and let me tell you, he desperately suffered to give that to you, then you're in a different position altogether. Because then, if you're judged by the perfect obedience of Christ, you shall earn fully the gift of salvation, not by your works, but by the works of Christ. Here's what Paul means when he says that you have become like a son, like an heir, because you, by the death of Christ, inherit everything that is good and right and holy. You aren't a slave of God, just there to do what God says and never to earn anything for yourself. Paul's saying that. Rather, you work under God as a child does, not doing what he requires to win for yourself a sonship, but because you love your heavenly Father. It's Father's Day today. Happy Father's Day to everyone here who's a father, who serves as a father figure, especially your pastor, those who desire to be a father. Being a father is hard. Sometimes, as we know, our fathers are excellent, and we love them dearly. And some of us have had fathers who are difficult to love. Some of us here today have been abandoned by our fathers. Some of us don't know what it means to have a father. If your father has disappointed you greatly, I understand that today is a really hard day for you. And you are in my prayers. But I will tell you that we have a good Father. The Father who loved you before he even created you. The one who desires to give you all good things. And the one who wants to spend eternity with you. He is a good Father. And he has made you his child through the waters of holy baptism. And being baptized then into the death of Christ, you've been raised into the new life we have in Jesus. You are now God's child, a child of righteousness. And when you have a good father, like the one that we have, you want to please this one. I have a one-year-old son. And when I'm back in July, we'll be living closer to Milwaukee. You'll meet my son when I'm back then. And I think you'll all agree that he is the best, most handsome boy that you have ever met. He brings me, as a father, pleasure and joy. And I delight in every little thing that he does. When he started walking last week. And then a couple days later, when he started walking around in the kiddie pool. When he laughed. For the first time he smiled at me. The first time he said, Dada. The first time he said, Mama. I love everything this kid does. But he also misbehaves. And I don't like that he misbehaves. But I still love him through that. When he's good, he's very good. And he does things to make me happy. He knows that when he laughs and screams, he knows that I'll laugh. And when I laugh at him, he wants to laugh even more. My son loves the love of his father, and he tries to make me happy. You see, that's what we do with God as his children. It's not that by my son's obedience, I love him more. I love him as best as I am able, no matter what. But God loves you perfectly, no matter what you do. But certainly God does rejoice over you when you obey him through the love that you have for him. And you are free to do that without fear in Jesus. You're free to do the right thing and do it for his sake and for the sake of your neighbor. Because we never do what's good for our sake. It is, what are the two great commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. Love yourself doesn't show up there. You see, you don't do stuff to earn a sonship with God. My boy didn't earn his way into my life. He just was born. And you were born from above. You were born through the waters of baptism. God takes you and he says, "This is my beloved child," through his beloved son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn it. You just do it. You're not a slave. See, a slave in Paul's day would sell themselves into indentured servitude to earn freedom from debts that they would have. You don't have to bargain with God to get yourself free of your debt to sin. You are freed by God because he loves you as his child. A son doesn't earn anything through the death of the father, right? When your father dies, you normally get some kind of inheritance. You didn't earn it. You just receive it. And through the death of the Son of God, you earn everything God has. You receive it all, not earn it. You receive all that God has. And you get it through Jesus and what he earned. You see, the law is good and it's right and it's holy. And it serves as a guardian. It tells us what to do, what not to do. It tells us how far we can go, what's too far, how we should love God, how we should love our neighbor. Is a homosexual an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a murderer, a hater, a Muslim, an idolater, are any of these people breaking the law of God? Most assuredly, I guarantee that every single one of us fits in that list somewhere. But the law, if we are in Christ, it doesn't serve to condemn us any longer. It doesn't give us this unreachable standard that we have to live towards in order to be saved. What it does is shows us how we then take the love of Christ that we've received through his word and through his sacrament, and how we take it to the world to serve the world in love. It's how we're empowered to serve our neighbor. It's how we know what a good father is. It's how we know what a good friend is. It's how we know what a good neighbor is. It's how we show mercy to those who need to know of the mercy of God, which is only found in Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed from our debt to the law. Not by our work. Not by our service to our neighbor, not even by our love toward God, but by God's love toward us. The love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, which caused him to lay down his life for you, his friend, his brother, his sister. And we have been made one with him through his death and his resurrection, so that all of us, no matter how different we are from one another, will receive eternal life and be forever with him, without worry, without fear. We serve because Christ Jesus first served us. And we have mercy because he has had mercy on us. You are an heir of Christ. And you have received his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, so that you can be with him. And we can be with each other. And prayerfully, the whole world could be together with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.